you're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium is a central source for health, consciousness, spirituality, and self-liberation. I'm Catherine Davis, and today I am going to be speaking with whom I consider to be a very special guest, and we are going to be speaking with Kim Wyler. And Kim is a holistic health coach, as well as the author of a wonderful new book. So, Kim, I would love for you to jump in here and give us the name of your book and begin to tell us a little bit about how you came into this practice through your own self-healing, through self-love.
Hi, Catherine. Thank you so much for having me on your show. So my book is called P.S. It's All About Love. P.S. stands for psoriasis. So it's P.S. All About Love, How a Painful Journey with Psoriasis Became a Life Devoted to Healing Others. And, you know, I was in a completely different career just 6 years ago. I worked in TV and film for about a little over 20 years now. And I ended up completely doing this entire transition of becoming a health coach, and my journey all started 6 years ago when I changed my diet and I developed a self-care practice, one that I really never had before, one of self-love. And it took me about a year, and I healed my skin for the first time in over 20 years. So it was such a moving life, you know, healing journey for me, and it was life-changing. So I ended up going back to school for nutrition, and my mission is to help people heal their skin and, you know, make a difference on the world and get people to understand how healing and powerful and important self-love is. So that's where I'm at today.
Well, thank you. That was very concise. I really want to now dive into that a little bit. So let's talk to people, first of all, about this experience in terms of having psoriasis, but also about, and I think largely connecting to the autoimmune part of that disease. Can you explain to people what autoimmune disease is? How it affects the body, and how psoriasis fits into that category?
Yes, for sure. So an autoimmune disease, and we, you know, I think there are so many people who are affected today. Unfortunately, autoimmunity is more rampant today than in the history of the United States. And we all know people who have something, right, like Crohn's disease, cancer, rheumatoid arthritis, irritable bowel syndrome, skin diseases. There's over 20 of those. You know, we all know someone, I think, suffering, or maybe we're suffering ourselves. So autoimmunity is basically, simply put, it's where the body just gets confused and it's attacking its own healthy cells. So, you know, normally our immune system, it creates antibodies that should be fighting off foreign invaders, like, when you know, toxins or bacteria, viruses, cancer cells, but instead it's attacking and destroying our own healthy body tissue by mistake. So as a result, this can cause joint pain or skin inflammation, in my case, like psoriasis, and just so many other disorders. Psoriasis specifically is a condition where a normal person's skin sheds once a month when your cells mature. So that's totally normal, where someone like me with psoriasis, my skin is shedding every few days, and that's just way too fast, and it's not giving myself a chance to mature. So unfortunately, I'm left with these inflamed spots or lesions on my skin that, you know, they're red from the inflammation, they're scaly and they flake and they're very itchy, and they just cause, they wreak havoc on your psyche. They really do. You know, most of my life living with it, I developed it at 19, you know, an age where I cared a lot about what people thought about me. And I just carried around a lot of shame from it and this constant feeling that I wasn't enough. So, you know, it wasn't until 6 years ago when I started my journey, really, really delving into that and working on that and coming up with different tools and techniques and exercises that I could really work with to really work past a lot of that, you know, that shame and really put it behind me.
Let me ask you something. Going a little bit deeper into that place you were when you were 19 and you developed this autoimmune disease called psoriasis, would you say that your feelings, your emotions that are connected to the skin were something that already happened or you were already dealing with, and somehow as you came of age, it manifested in the skin? Did you have to go a little bit deeper than the skin to work to heal that?
Yes, that's a beautiful question. I really love that question because, yes, I grew up in an alcoholic home. My father was an alcoholic. So there was definitely a sense of not enough stability. Every day was kind of unpredictable. And so growing up like that, I definitely lacked the love that, you know, my parents, of course, loved me. They showed it as much as they could. Under the circumstances, you know, that was hard for them. So I definitely, at that, you know, when I was much younger, grew up kind of really needing love, more love than I was able to get because of those circumstances. So I kind of went out into the world and looked for it in all these other places. And I always, like I said before, that word shame, it became my story. And it really made me want to be liked by everybody. I needed people's approval. And so I carried that shame with me, that word, you know, those words, I am ashamed. It was like the famous line from my story. And that I carried that around with me all through high school, not knowing that I was living in that story, you know, because that's all it was. It was just I was putting this meaning to you know, the events that have happened in my young life. And I was carrying around this story with me. And, you know, I carried it around all through high school. And then at 19, boom, I developed psoriasis. And I'm a huge believer in the mind-body-spirit connection. And there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that, you know, I know it was a combination of things. I know it was also, you know, a poor processed diet and toxins from, you know, skincare and all of that. So that definitely played a part. But a big, big part of that was that shame that I was carrying around. When you have negative, toxic emotions in you, they have to manifest in some negative way. So here I was carrying around shame, hiding my family. And then, you know, little did I know that the second part of my life, I would be now, you know, carrying around shame for my skin and having feeling I needed to hide that too. So it really is all connected.
And how many years did you try to struggle and negotiate these issues before you came to some realization that you could change it?
You know, I really started my spiritual journey, really delving deep into my self-love practice, only when I was 36 years old. I'm 41 now. So really only 6 years ago, I'm sorry, I really started at 35. So yeah, so 6 years ago was when I really started to deeply work on that. I definitely struggled in my 20s and early 30s. I'd say my early 30s is when my journey really started to begin, because that was when I was starting to get very, you know, I was getting older, I was dating, I was, you know, living in the city, living this beautiful life, and the psoriasis was kind of the one issue that was always, I was always carrying it around on my shoulders, and it was always that one thing that made me feel like I wasn't in control. You know, it controlled me. So I'd say in my early 30s is when I started to just get really done living with that disease. So I was very kind of like starting to look for, you know, just ways to work on that. But it wasn't until I was 36 and my dog got sick is what actually began my entire journey. My dog was so ill, and my vet had suggested that I cook whole foods for him instead of buying him processed dog food. And it was like this simple suggestion. I was so resistant. I would have never have thought to cook for my dog. And I'm sure you know, people take way better care of their animals than they do themselves half the time. So here I was cooking for my dog out of complete desperation for him to feel better. And I witnessed a miracle happen. I literally witnessed a miracle. He could barely walk. He was like running down the street. He lost all his weight. I got him off all his medications within 6 months. And my vet said after his annual blood work checkup, she said his insides were that, he was 11. She said his insides were that of a 6-month-old puppy just from eating whole real food. Yeah. So that really, when I was 35, and that happened, that really made me, it blew my mind. And next thing you know, I was off and running, doing research, going crazy, becoming obsessed with watching documentaries about health and reading articles, and Google was my new best friend. And who knew that there was so much on Google about psoriasis? You know, I spent my whole life just going to dermatologists and getting new steroids and creams and medications. I never thought to Google psoriasis and get all this, you know, this whole plethora of information about ways to heal it alternatively. So that kind of just, you know, broke everything open when my dog got better.
Excellent, excellent. And I could see how that would be very inspiring, but also it's almost like your dog is your little angel or something leading you into this path of how to heal yourself. I tend to think of animals in that way. So I assume then it became easier for you to begin to give attention to taking care of yourself after that.
Yes, absolutely. And it was really interesting because the first year of my journey was really all about food. That was my nutrition. That's what I looked at, nutrition as just food. And I didn't really realize for about a couple of years that nutrition was way more than just food. It is the relationships we're in, healthy relationships. It is, you know, the hobbies that bring us joy. It's a healthy relationship with money, with your body, with food. It's, you know, having a spiritual practice, whatever that might be for you. It's having a fulfilling career. It's all these things. That's nutrition. So, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, eating kale and broccoli and all of those delicious, nutritious vegetables is wonderful and they will make yourself thrive. But, you know, if you're in an abusive relationship in some way, or if you're, you know, going to work completely unfulfilled, unhappy, you know, there's so many aspects of life that, you know, food is secondary. It really is. And that's what I started to learn, because I had healed my skin through food the first time. And because it's a chronic condition, if I suffer from stress, any type of stress, you know, I'll see spots pop up. And it's my body's talking to me. It's communicating to me. It's this huge indicator that something's not in balance in those different areas of my life. So if I'm stressed or even eating poorly, if I see spots pop up, now I know what to do. But before, you know, I kind of just thought it was all food. Okay, I got to get back on track with my diet. And then 1 year, about 2 years into my journey, spots started popping up, and I could not get rid of them through just diet. I was doing everything I had done that first time around. It wasn't working. I was extremely frustrated. You know, my poor husband, because at this point we weren't married, but that, you know, my poor boyfriend at the time, we just moved in together, and I'm like really, really frustrated, constantly talking about how this diet is like killing me. And I just don't understand. And he points out to me, well, you know, you're under a lot of stress at work. Do you think that has something to do with it? And then I really looked at that. And I knew that, you know, I knew I had a lot of stress at work, but sometimes we can't see the forest through the trees, and we just need someone to kind of put it in our face like that. And I was really able to just take a good look at that. And once I did, I thought, wow, I'm doing the job of four people. I'm bringing work home with me every night. I'm very unhappy. And I really needed to make changes in that area in order to heal. So that's when I really started to come up with ways that I could reduce my stress and really strengthen my immune system. And once I started doing that, I came up with little ways that I could reduce my stress each day. You know, if I wasn't going to quit and get out of that job altogether, you know, there would be another stress down the road. So I had to really come up with ways that just helped me relieve my stress. And once I started doing that, Catherine, oh my gosh, I watched my skin heal right before my eyes. Like, I just needed to reduce my stress, continue eating healthy, and just keep practicing self-care. And now, a few years later, my self-care practice just keeps changing and evolving constantly. You know, some things I'm bored with. Some things I'm constantly looking for playful, fun things. The second the word, oh, I should do this or I should do that, the second the word should is introduced, you have to stop. You have to come up with something new and exciting and eventful and playful that gets you excited to do it. You know?
I so love that because I interact with a lot of people who are very much engaged in health, in pulling their lives together and eating the right thing, doing the right thing. But it often becomes so regimented that it's just another stressor. So that staying healthy is actually, or at least attempt to stay healthy, is what is making people sick ultimately. And I've known a lot of people who have perfect diets, you know, very strict vegetarian, vegan diets or whatever it is, a paleo diet, but they're very, very strict with it. And I see people who should be healthy that are not. And you're really tapping into that reality that it's so much more than finding one specific regimen and then sticking to that like a soldier, because you become like a robot after a while. So I really do appreciate what you're speaking of. Can you delve a little bit more into how you managed to do this, weaving this sort of this change and adaptability into your process? Because to me it's more of a process, but that's a unique quality that not everyone has, that adaptability to be able to sort of go down that winding road to say, well, this works for me now, and then turn the page and realize that it's something else.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more on everything you just said. And I see it. I see it all the time as well. And just know that adaptability, it's still hard for me too. I mean, I'm not like perfect at it, but I work on it on a daily basis. So it gets easier. The more you work on it, the more you work on kind of not beating yourself up about it, it really does get easier, but it does take work. It takes effort, and people just, I think when you get to a point in your health where you just want to be happy, right? We all just want to be happy. So, self-love really is about, it's when you care enough about yourself to make that happiness a priority for you. So if something, like we just said, isn't making us happy and excited to do it, then absolutely we should 100% not do it. But yeah, so working with that adaptability, like you just asked, it really is just a journey, an everyday journey. I got to a point this year where I was in that place you just spoke of, like a robot. I had all these morning little rituals I would do. And at one point in time, they really did help heal my skin. And that was amazing. But something happened to me this year, and I really kind of, can't pinpoint exactly what it was, but, oh, I know what it was. I'm sorry. I moved. I moved into a new apartment. So when I moved, my lifestyle had to change a little bit because of the circumstances. So, things in the old apartment just were different in the new apartment. And it was a wonderful change for me, but all of a sudden, my schedule and things I used to do in the morning, I can't do some of them now. So I started to kind of try to squeeze them in and do them in some way, shape, or form. And it just felt hard to do that. So I was kind of starting to do what I was just mentioning before, beat myself up about it. I started feeling guilty. And then all of a sudden, all these negative emotions were just popping up in me left and right. Like, I noticed them on a daily basis. And I think that's a big part of the adaptability, is really paying attention to what your thoughts are saying, and really being able to flip those into positive thoughts in any way, shape, or form. So if, it really... it's that negative self-talk that we need to work on. Because once we work on that, and again, that's something that the more you work on it, the easier, the more consistent you do it, the easier it will be. But once you start working on that self-talk and you kind of understand that that's not you, it's not who you are, and that you can change that and be in control of that at any point in time. It's your choice. Once you kind of reduce that self-talk, or at least just make it a little bit more insignificant so you can move through your day, not beating yourself up and having all these negative feelings about what you're doing, that I think is the key. I think working on that daily is the key to everything. Because now I'm still at a place right now where I have a kind of a whole new little set of tools that I've developed for myself. Like, can I just give you an example of one of those?
Yes, and then let's transition into your book to tell people how they can connect with this wisdom that you have cultivated.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, sure. So one example, I do a lot of things for myself in the morning. And one of those things is to speak really lovingly to my skin while I'm putting coconut oil on it. Here I am putting, some really wonderful, powerfully healing oil on my skin and, nothing non-toxic. And I say thank you, and I have gratitude. And there were plenty of mornings where I lost that. Like, I just would forget, or sometimes I just was, beating myself up for forgetting, or I would just, not do it for a while and then return back to it, and it kind of felt forced and a little bit of fake, where for a long, long time, it felt really good to do it. So even something like that where, here I am, I kind of lost a little bit of that passion for it, I guess you can say. So I just kind of came up with this, I came up with this little tool, how most people say what if to the negative. So they'll walk around going, oh, what if I don't get the job? What if I don't meet my soulmate this year? What if, I don't get a new, get that promotion? What if, just what if we always kind of assume the worst? It's, we're kind of designed to do that. So basically, I say, well, what if to the positive, and make it a point to do it on a daily basis. Like, what if my skin heals? What if I meet my soulmate this year? What if my book gets published? What if, I can go on and on and on, but I do that every day, and it's really fun for me now. Like, I'll just be putting my coconut oil on, and instead of saying, other words of gratitude, I'll just be I'll just say something like, What if today I'm really loving my skin? Or what if I have a great day today? Or what if I don't hit traffic today? Or what if, I just say what if to the positive, and it's really fun for me. So, and a few of my clients are loving it too, because it's fun. It's it's not like you're sitting there making a list of, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for this. It's you're kind of well, what if? And it gets you excited, and you're just putting positivity out there, so you're able to get positivity back, like with the law of attraction, what you put out there, you get back. If you look for the good, you're going to find the good. If you look for the bad, you'll find the bad. So I've been just what-ifing everything, and I have to tell you, Catherine, I developed that tool in 2016. In 2016, I what if I wrote a book and got published all year? And then I got published in 2017. I notice all the time, my what if's happening. And look, if they don't, they don't. But at least you feel good thinking about it and getting excited about it. You're experiencing positive emotion, which is what we're striving for every day. It's just feeling positive emotion.
Lovely, lovely. So tell us about this book. It's, people can connect with it. I know the book is on Amazon. They can find out more by going to your website. So we'll talk about that next. But talk about the book itself. P.S. It's All About Love, How a Painful Journey with Psoriasis Became a Life Devoted to Healing Others.
Yeah, I share a lot about my suffering, both physically and psychologically over the years. and just having tried everything you could possibly imagine out of desperation to heal. So I wanted to walk the reader through, you know, kind of just what worked for me, just to try to prevent them from going through the same frustration and the same disappointment. So it is very informative, and I delve into everything food-related, you know, you name it, regarding food, I kind of delve into all of it. And it's, so it's very instructive, but it also has a spiritual element to it. You know, I talk about the connection of mind, body, spirit, because, you know, what's showing up on the outside is usually a direct reflection of what's going on the inside. So, you know, if we get sick or we're in pain, we can't help but think in physical terms, but it's not just physical. You know, it's mental and emotional as well. So it's so much about finding balance, and that usually means making lifestyle changes. So that's where self-love plays a really big part in the book. And I talk about that and how important it is to find ways to love yourself with or without any disease. And just how that's changed my life and how it's helped me heal. So, and it's why I became a health coach and why I'm so devoted to healing others, you know, just to get my message out there as much as I can.
Excellent, excellent. And I think that I'm inspired talking to you right now, so I'm sure that you are very good at helping the people who reach out to you. And your website, healingmyskin.com, is a lovely, it's a beautifully designed site, but it also has a lot of information and resources that people can make that connection, as well as they can link right to Amazon for your book. So healingmyskin.com, talk about all that there is on your website. I see you have blog, you have videos, you have a lot of stuff. Tell people what's there.
Yeah. If they visit my site, healingmyskin.com, they could absolutely click to buy my books straight from Amazon through there. It's also available on barnesandnoble.com and outskirtspress.com. And, on my site, I have a whole blog page. I blog consistently, and I have a YouTube channel. They could check out all my videos on there or through YouTube. I also have a podcast with Passionate World Radio Network. So the link to my podcast is in there. And then I have, like, resources, just tons of resources. They're in my book as well, but just all sorts of websites and services and just books and movies and things that have helped me so much through my healing. So I just wanted to make sure I had a page dedicated to just if someone wants to find a good, you know, health documentary to watch or a great book to read or you name it, it's on my resources page. And they could also read about my journey. That's on there. And they could contact me, absolutely, yeah, through there. So, everything is there. Everything's on the website, healingmyskin.com.
Great. And so now I would love for you to take a moment to do like a virtual counseling session, in the sense that, you know, we have a lot of people tuned in who maybe don't understand what a health counselor will do, a holistic health counselor might do, how they might approach or even discover what they might be blocked by, because for you, your body's mechanism of communication ended up being through psoriasis, but for another person, it might be something else. It might be alcoholism, or it might be, depression, whatever it is. I think that what you've learned can be applied to anyone's situation. So I would love for you to sort of talk to people as if you're talking to them in a consultation. How would they begin to explore their own life? How would they begin to approach making changes in their diet? And, you know, so just to give people a sense of what that would be like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because, people ask me all the time, what a health coach is. And I always tell them it's really just a supportive mentor. You know, you clearly want to become the best person that you could be. And, holistic health coaches believe that you can be through diet and lifestyle changes. And holistic, meaning whole body, you know, that's the approach that I take when I help my clients on their path is, you know, we don't just focus on diet, but we focus on all the different ways that they can improve the quality of their life. So it's kind of like having your own personal personal advocate who, you know, I when I work with clients, I hold their hand. You know, I provide them with guidance. I hold them accountable. They know they always have someone to talk to. Talking is really a huge component because talking really is medicine. So I listen, and as a wellness authority, I provide them with all these life-changing tools to make them happier and healthier. So, you know, so we'll run the gamut, you know. Depending on what they're going through, I'm going to ask them a lot of what we called in school high-mile questions that are just going to help them reflect on what's going on in their life. We're going to, you know, we're not just going to, like I said, we're not just going to look at diet. We are going to walk through diet and see where the changes could be made there. But I think the even bigger portion is the self-care practice, is the self-love practice. Because I think that portion is what a lot of people, you know, that's the part in life that I think has the most lack. Just because we kind of, you know, we live our life, we're kind of on autopilot. We don't pay attention to this little voice in our head. And we do pay too much attention to it. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. So diet 100%, delving into that, because food really is our medicine, and we need to nourish our cells to make them thrive and flourish. So any disease, all disease begins in the gut. So that's a huge portion of health coaching. And the second huge portion is just looking at where all the imbalances are in your life and helping that person get to a place where they can, you know, really figure out for themselves. And I'm not making those decisions for them. I'm just there to ask them the questions that will spark, you know, the whys and the, you know, all the deep thoughts that will come up from the conversation to figure out in their life, like, where can they make positive change and how can they make positive change. And honestly, I think my biggest job as far as self-love goes is to teach them about that and help them find it, help them recognize it, and help them use it so that they can reach their highest potential. You know, they could achieve great things, because that's what everybody wants, right? We want to chase our dreams, and we want to go after the things we want, and we want to be happy and live a joyful life. That's why we're here. So that's my job, is to get you to that place where you can live a happier, your best life. And it's through conversation, and it's through listening. And it's through me teaching you tools and techniques and exercises. And, you know, and it's the type of journey that you take when you are really ready for healthy change. So, you know, I unfortunately get a lot of people who do have a consultation with me, and they're just not ready. And you know what? That's okay. They'll be ready at some point in their lives. But it's, you know, it's lovely when I have someone come to me who's like, I just want to heal my skin. Like, I will be happy when I do not see spots on my skin. And it's, I don't help people with just psoriasis. There's tons of skin issues. But you're right, Catherine. It doesn't matter if you're dealing with any other ailment or illness or condition. I see people who have a doctor, they go to a doctor as well. So I compliment, you know, people who see their doctors regularly. I compliment that practice, you know, because doctors weren't trained in nutrition. I am. So I can, and I'm also, my biggest credential is my experience living with this disease and managing it and healing it. So I can then come in and compliment. You know, they could see their doctor for everything else. Me, they can see to really delve into their life and their diet and make healthy choices and really just, take control of their health. That's what I help people do in one sentence. Help people take control of their health.
Excellent. But my understanding is that your specialty is helping people with issues of the skin.
Yes, that's my niche, okay. For sure. Yeah, but I'm 100% open to helping anyone, because I love helping people. So,
yeah, I agree with you, because I see the relationship that your journey might have been the specific journey, but the tools and techniques and the wisdom, the knowledge that you have is applicable to anyone's particular issue, because really part of what you're doing is helping people delve into those core issues that might be contributing to the challenge in their life, or contributing, whether that's emotional or physical. So I think it's the real answer is how you're guiding people to go a little bit deeper. At least how I see that. And so I'm really, you know, really happy to be able to share your work with people. I want to remind everyone that we are listening to Kim Wyler, and her website is healingmyskin.com. Her new book is P.S. It's All About Love, How a Painful Journey with Psoriasis Became a Life Devoted to Healing Others. So as we come to the end of this little journey of our conversation, at least the first conversation, what would you like to leave our listeners with, and how would you like them to contact you if they choose to do that?
Well, they can contact me through my website, healingmyskin.com. There's a contact me page on there, so that's how they can get in touch. And I'd love to leave them with just letting them know that I'm still learning my biggest lesson, actually. I'm still learning it. It's to continue practicing love for myself in any way, shape, or form. You know, I need to find love from within myself and not rely on the outside world to provide it. So sometimes it's not easy, but I work on it every single day, and it's really the only way to find it. So yeah, I just want to let everyone know that you know, I'm still working on it every day too. It's a life journey.
Absolutely. So I am delighted to have had this conversation with you, and just reminding people that this, we've been speaking with Kim Wyler, and she struggled with psoriasis and autoimmune skin disease, and no doctor could offer her successful treatment, and she began to, through that frustration, work on her own life, being guided by whom I would call her little guardian angel, her dog Mac. By healing him, she learned how to heal herself. And to me, that is like such a beautiful gem in your story. The fact that you had that little help from, you know, the little puppy. It's very powerful. And then, you know, just your own journey. And I encourage people to definitely visit the website, healingmyskin.com. Get a copy of the book if you want to really move through this journey. P.S. It's All About Love, How a Painful Journey with Psoriasis Became a Life Devoted to Healing Others. And I would also want to encourage people to think about how your life can be your inspiration. To me, that's the real value and gem in your story, Kim, is that you have allowed your life to be your inspiration. And most people are looking outside themselves for their inspiration. So I think
I love that
is so cool. So I want to thank you very much for being with me today on Heart of Mind Radio.
Catherine, thank you so much for having me. This was wonderful. I loved it. Thank you.
All right. You're very, very welcome. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
And bye-bye. And you are listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium right here on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine Davis. And truth is, I love stories like this. So we're going to go a little bit deeper into this journey of self. We're going to take a brief music break, and then we will be right back. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and I want you to consider, I found our interview in the first segment to be an inspiration, because that is the inspiration, our own life, yes? Our own life is our inspiration. So I want to talk to you a little bit about how we can really begin to make some adjustments to our interior world, to our interior reality. And I've been looking at, personally, at the various differences between understanding the existence and understanding the reality. Several years ago, now I was studying with a group of people from the Earth Center, and it was based on the teachings of the Dogon people, who are found in various parts of the African continent. And they're a very ancient people, and they migrated. They were originally the, you would say, the spiritual teachers of the pharaohs. And as the northern parts of the continent became more infiltrated with influences, were conquered and were changed, these Dogon people migrated down into the lower or southern parts of the African continent. And people know of the Dogon of Mali, and there are Dogon in many, many countries, actually, because what they've done is taking their society into a secret to hold the wisdom. And these are people who are still teaching, offering the wisdom teachings, and they actually speak, have the spoken language of the hieroglyph. It's called Medu and Medu Netter. And so there's the common version, and then there's the spiritual version, which is the Medu Netter. So I was studying for a little time with this group of people, and one of the things that really stuck very deeply with me was how they referred to life as the existence. And it struck me as very different, because we commonly think of our world as a reality. You know, what's real, what's not, what's a deception, what's not, and get caught up into the machinations of our reality. But if we begin to take on a more grander understanding that we are participants in a divine existence, then we can begin to take a step back from the exterior view of our world and our experience, and move deeper into the existence, because the existence is more truthfully the observer, the creator presence that pre-exists the manifested reality. So if we begin to think of ourselves as living and being the existence, manifestation of existence, then it changes, it shifts our perspective of our reality. So the existence, if you think in terms of from the first moment of physical expression, from the first moment of conscious expression, we flow in that stream of existence. So the existence is an internal sense of being. It is an invisible, the invisible within our understanding. It is the creative force, is the existence. And the reality is really about what is being manifested. It represents what is temporary. It represents, even multiplicity, for example, multiple existences, multiple realities, multiple lifetimes, multiple experiences. And for me, the value in this is just by understanding that we are not our bodies, we are not our skin, we are not our relationships, we are not our titles, we are not our how we may be perceived in the world. All of that is part of the creative play, but in truth, that creative play in this world, in this reality, is just that. And it's important to hold the recognition that we are indeed within that stream of existence. And it's a very much empowering place to stem from, to be rooted within. so that as we move through the world, we can reach deep into that root of existence, of eternal existence, and that realization allows us to play in our manifested reality without the attachments to the whatever occurs. So if you're in your reality and you're in a job and you hate your job, we don't have to dive into that frustration. We can pull into the state of existence and say, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe I can transform this job reality. Maybe I need to abandon this job reality and move into a new life, move into a new expression. Maybe it's time for me to focus on something differently. And so rather than being focused into the manifested reality, we could always look upon the manifested reality as an effect, as a scenario, as a drama, as a scene. And we are playing in that drama, playing in that scene, engaging with the people, but there's a recognition that indeed our truth is so much deeper and so much extended into that eternal flow, knowing that we have been part of this wave of existence and will continue to be and will always be. So there is no sense of importance necessarily to the interplay of our worldly experience, of our created reality. And the other piece of that that makes it really valuable to recognize that we are existence, eternal existence, is that within the play of our world, within the exchange and the interchange, the challenge really is to be able to be in this play experience, however painful it might be. It really is sort of just playing, like molding. If you had clay, you're molding something. And we're in this reality molding and playing, creating our lives, creating our relationships, pulling it apart, recreating something. But the real key within the play of reality is to be able to recognize the truth of existence in every aspect. So when we are having a relationship, and even if the interplay is unsuccessful, so-called, or we have painful experiences in that relationship interplay, the challenge really and the real mastery is to be able to regard that person as the existence, the same existence that you are. And together, as we come to that realization that this person that I'm in love with or engaging with, that's acting maybe really stupid or thoughtlessly or incompetently, we can realize that this is just another manifestation of the existence. And so we can begin to interact with that other being, not so much with anger or frustration or striking back, but react from this deeper understanding that, okay, in this moment, I'm tapped into the existence. I can see it, but this other being is not tapped into it. It's not part of their consciousness, their awareness. So they're not able to meet me in this deeper state of being. So that's not a reason to invest in the conflict. That's more a reason to divest of the conflict, to move away from it, instead of, you know, really hunker down and, you know, have blows, be they emotional, psychological, physical, you know, you can divest from things much easier because you are not that conflict. You are not that body that's engaged. You are not that mind that is engaged. You are not those feelings that are engaged. You are the existence that came before all of this and will continue beyond it. And as long as we can stay in that stream of awareness, it brings us to a much more powerful level of expression in the world. And when we can find in our relationships each being having that recognition that we're far deeper, far richer expressions of existence, then you can come to a more simpatico exchange, relationship, common ground. And so there's this room for a real deepening in our relationships and our friendships. And when we bring this reality to our responsibilities, it allows and makes room for the people around us to tap into their own awareness of who they are within the stream of existence. So those of us who are dealing with children, we can make space for them to really experience themselves as these powerful beings within this powerful stream of existence, that they have this capacity to create and to do and to mold their lives. So as a parent, rather than trying to confine our children to mold them into behaviors, is to more honor that they are as powerfully the existence as we, and to guide them and nurture them, you know, be there to catch them perhaps if they fall, but allow them to flourish and to explore. And for those of us who are in a working situation, maybe we're the captain of a ship or the, you know, the administrator in a job place or a teacher in a school or the head of a family. If we begin to recognize who we are as this much more expansive existence, then we can begin to create space around us saying, I don't have to compete with my coworker. This is another creative force. This is another expression. And then, you know, as one expression flowers, leaves more room for you to flower and to blossom, so that we can retreat from this idea of competing with each other, and we can retreat from this need to be approved by some interplay. There's no need for that approval because we are the existence. We are all that is. We have a particular expression of that, but that's in essence who we are as beings. And why I like thinking of it as the existence is because I find that a lot of people in the world of spiritual healing and teaching get caught up in the whole I am God philosophy ideology. I call it an ideology because one might say, I am God, but do you really manifest the qualities of a God? And then what is a God, really? We don't know. It's a concept, a human concept, this word God. It's not the existence. It's a human concept of some powerful being. So it sort of pulls out of that ideology. And the other part of, even if I were to use that, I wouldn't say that I am God. I would say that God is I, and I am an arm of God or an arm of the existence. And it's important because the trap is that when you go around talking about I am God, it so entraps the ego into co-opting that ideology and moving the person into a state of grandioseness, a state of assumed authority, assumed domination, assumed capacity for control. So I am not very much in favor of this whole concept of God, because it's been co-opted for centuries. We don't know what people have been dealing with over the centuries. Have they been dealing with gods? Have they been dealing with extraterrestrials? Have they been dealing with fourth, fifth dimensional entities? What are people really dealing with in the spirit realm? We don't know for sure. But if we can say, whatever it is that's being manifested before me, it's a part of the existence. It's some manifestation of the existence. But it is not the all that is, whatever it is that people are claiming, whether it's channeling, whether it's angels, whether it's the stars and astrology. They're all different methods of finding guidance. But I prefer not to give it authority. I think it might very well be guidance, and we can discern if it's useful to us, but it's not an authority over us. We can't say that astrology is the system that defines life and I'm going to guide my life by astrology. That's giving your existence to something outside, to some other determinant factor. If you are seeking channels and the person is channeling angels and channeling divine voices, it may very well be that. I'm not saying it's not. But you know, I don't feel it's appropriate to give it authority. And it's the same is true of the church. The church has rules and regulations. They can guide us. The wisdom books, the Bibles, the Qurans, all these books can give us wisdom. But it is not the existence. It is not the defining, controlling factor in our lives. And those of us who don't seek the spiritual, you know, look at the telly, look at the TV, and look at the big stars on the TV and emulate those stars, and they become their God. Or maybe people are involved in Wall Street and trading money and, you know, being a corporation and raising endless amounts of wealth. Well, then that wealth is their God. That money is the God. So God is not something worth investing, in my opinion, one's power, one's existence. So we could look at all these things around us. We could see, discern how useful it is. But when we move through the world in that flow, understanding that we are the existence from the first moment of consciousness onward, eternally, that's who we are. And when we align ourselves in that realm, then everything else becomes manageable and malleable, because we're walking in the true power of who we are. So give it some thoughts. I want to remind you, you're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis. Our guest today, earlier in the program, was Kim Weiler of HealingMySkin.com. For those of you who would like to make contact with myself, I certainly welcome you to connect with me. For those of you who don't know or listening for the first time, I'm Catherine Davis, and I have produced Heart of Mind Radio since 2000 over WBAI Pacifica Radio and the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, since about 2014. I am an artist, author, mystic, energy worker, and spiritual doula. I facilitate relaxation techniques. I am an experienced teacher of Qigong, a practitioner of Reiki, spiritually guided life force energy, the Sandlin technique, and indigenous healing technology based on vision quest and shamanic insight. I've created a form of Qigong healing and practice called Kunli Sheng. And for those who would like to study with me, you can do so at Studio Maya every Saturday at 2:30 to 4 p.m. I do a class on meditation and movement for body wellness and stress reduction. You can reach me by email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, or you can leave a phone message at 347-480-1694. 347-480-1694. I offer teachings, classes, private sessions, spiritual counseling, and I welcome your connecting with me. My primary website at this moment is Katherine.one, KATHRYN.ONE. So I want you to stay tuned for more great programming over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I have been Katherine Davis, and this program is Heart of Mind, Radio for the New Millennium. Please go to the website at PRN.FM to our archive page to listen, to download, and to share. I invite you to share this program with your friends and family so that we can grow together. Thank you, and stay tuned for more great programming over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. Stay tuned, and bye for now. Be blessed.